Good morning and welcome to our service this Sunday from Perth Baptist Church. Whether you're a member of our congregation or a visitor tuning in, Jackie and I are out on one of our favourite lockdown cycles along the Kirkton of Mailer Road, and I'm just waiting for her to catch me up. This Sunday we're starting a new series entitled Songs of the Heart, and over the next few weeks we'll be immersing ourselves in some well-known Psalms. The Psalms is the songbook, the poetry book, the prayer book of the Bible, and it is a wonderful book to turn to in times of crisis, because the Psalms deal with every human emotion. As C.S. Lewis has said, most scripture speaks to us, but the Psalms speak for us. This morning we're going to spend time with what is probably the best loved and the best known Psalm of all, Psalm 23. This Psalm comes from the heart of David, the Shepherd King. We often think of Psalm 23 as a psalm of rest, but it's also a psalm of journeying, so we would invite you to journey with us as we explore this psalm together. So let's listen to the words of this well-kent psalm, brought to us by some well-kent and well-loved faces.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want.
And me to walk doth make.
Within the paths of righteousness,
even for his own name's sake.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want.
Yea, though I walk in death's dark vale, yet will I fear none ill.
For thou art with me.
For thou art with me.
For thou art with me.
And thy rod and staff me comfort still.
My table thou hast furnished.
My head thou dost with oil anoint.
And my cup overflows.
And my cup overflows.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want.
My dwelling place shall be
Thanks, folks, for that wonderful rendition of the psalm. And I can just see Jackie approaching now. That's great timing. Actually, she's wearing this bike helmet, but that's, I think, to cover her lockdown hair rather than for safety reasons.
The helmet's just an added bonus, but I'll take it off. The truth of the matter is that if Roland actually cycles as slowly as I cycle, he falls off his bike. I love this pastoral scene. The fields full of lambs, the lush pastures, and the waters of the Erne down below. And it's easy to conjure up this sort of picture when we think of Psalm 23. But for the biblical shepherd, the landscape was much harsher. When we were in Jordan a couple of years ago, we saw the Bedouin out in the pathways with their sheep and their goats. As we looked out in the desert landscape, we couldn't believe that they could survive on the sparse ribbons of vegetation there. They really needed to rely on the shepherd to guide them to new pastures each day where they could eat and to find a wadi or oasis in the wilderness just so that they could survive. and for the shepherd to rest with them and keep them safe. I've just passed the local shepherd with his crash helmet on a quad bike, but he did have a crook lashed to the side of his bike. A Scottish shepherd drives the sheep from behind. A Middle Eastern shepherd leads the sheep from the front. But he also guides and cajoles them onto the right paths with his wooden staff when they wander off, just to keep them safe. The Lord is my shepherd. This psalm is a sheep's eye view of the world, and it speaks of the Father heart of God for us, his sheep. That one line is a sermon in itself, and you could meditate on that for the next half hour and your soul would be restored, and please feel free to do so. David, the shepherd king, penned these remarkable words, 55 of the most beautiful and profound Hebrew words ever written. My mum was brought up on a farm and she had a pet sheep called Sheena. Sheena was orphaned at birth, and they tried to get another ewe to adopt her, but they failed. So Sheena was brought into the kitchen to the warmth there, and my mum bottle fed her. In fact, over bottle fed her, she got really fat. And just like in Mary Had a Little Lamb, Sheena followed my mum everywhere, even clattering up the stairs and sleeping on her bed. It's a story that has always stuck with me. The lamb trusted my mum, the one who fed her and nourished her, the one who named her. Does that ring some bells for you? It is impossible to read the 23rd Psalm today without reading it through Christian eyes, which just adds layer upon layer upon layer of new meaning to the psalm. As we think of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, laying down his life for his sheep, of Jesus, who knows each of us, each one of his sheep by name. Of Jesus, who loves his sheep so much that he will search and search and search until he finds a lost one and picks it up and carries it in his shoulder safely home. Roland, come out from behind the camera just for a minute. I've been on many walks with you, and it's quite remarkable how many sheep you've actually rescued in these walks.
That's right. I'm not a great animal lover, but I've always had a soft spot for sheep. I can think of one caught in the thicket I had to haul out. I can think of one with its horns stuck in the fence I had to unclip. And I can think of one cast sheep that was stuck upside down. I had to roll over back onto its feet and send it on its way. And that's what the Good Shepherd does for us. He gets us out of difficulty and he sends us on our way. And speaking of which,
I know.
We need to journey on your bike, Jack.
Yep.
We need to go down Necessity Brae and into Bucky Braes, and we'll see you there.
Bye.
Bye. Our journey takes us now along shepherd's paths and then through the valley of the shadow of death, and then to a table in the presence of a host. And there is this repeated pattern in the psalm of journey and rest. Journey and rest. Journey and rest. And in fact, those two ideas are two of the most fundamental metaphors in the psalms as a whole. The idea of pathway, lead me in the right paths. And the idea of refuge, God is our strength and refuge. So come with me now to meet Jackie at the table.
You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honour me by anointing my head with oil. my cup overflows with blessing. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will pursue me all of my days. And I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Roland, the table's set. Why not come and join me? Come and sit down. We stumbled across this table when we were out in one of our lockdown walks. Normally, I choose the wide path, the one that's at least allows 3 metres of social distancing, and we were heading for Craigie Hill Golf Course. But on this night, I said, let's take the narrow path up Bucky Brae's. And when I saw this table, it reminded me of Aslan's table in The Lion and the Witch and the Wardrobe, the table of sacrifice. And then, Roland, it reminded me of a photo that we came across the other day when we were going through some of your mum's old photos. I'm sure a lot of you have been doing that during lockdown. And it was a photo of the most incongruous table in the middle of the Scottish moors.
Yes, that's right. My grandfather used to be a butler. And in fact, for a while, he was the butler for Princess Diana's grandfather. But this photograph was taken in the 1930s. On the moors above Kirriemuir, and he'd laid out lunch for the shooting party. It was a long table, white tablecloth, silver candelabra, fine china, crystal glasses, and my grandfather, who was an imposing 6'6" in height, standing at the end of the table in a white tie, and tails, in the middle of the grass moor. Utterly incongruous.
And this table in the Sam that's set in the midst of enemies, that seems like quite an incongruous table to me too, and it seems to be very far away from the green pastures of earlier.
That's right. The kind of the main metaphor for God in the Sam started off as being the Good Shepherd or the Shepherd, but it's now changed to being the metaphor of the host, God as the generous host. And if we just think about the cup full to overflowing, and that's what Andy and Mona were speaking about last Sunday as part of talking about Pentecost. But there's also a new metaphor itself for the table is introduced. And for the Jewish folk, that would be as powerful as the metaphor of the shepherd. For the table, for hospitality, was something that they would understand. And we need to remember that hospitality for at that time meant not just the provision of food and drink, but also the provision of safety. The host was responsible for feeding the traveller, but also keeping him safe. So perhaps the table set in the midst of enemies isn't quite so incongruous after all.
That's interesting. You mentioned the hostile environment, and I think it might be helpful just for a few minutes if we actually retrace our steps and talk for a moment about the Valley of the Shadow of Death.
That's right. At the very heart of the psalm, at the very midpoint of the psalm, these words, "Fear no evil, for I will fear no evil, for you are with me." And it's interesting at that point that the psalmist is calling God you. You are with me. At the start of the psalm, he talks about the Good Shepherd. He talks about the Lord. But in this place of death and of fear, the relationship becomes much more personal.
And intimate.
And intimate. Mm-hmm. And of course, the psalm is very realistic. We all live with the threat of death. The Bible is very realistic about danger and death and fear. Mm. But what the psalm is saying is that when we walk through those valleys, then he will walk through them with us. And the Christian dimension, which David probably didn't fully understand, was that the Good Shepherd has walked through that valley before us and has walked through that valley for us. So we can have that confidence to face anything. And of course, it talks about the rod and the staff. And seen through Christ, the rod and the staff are cross-shaped.
That's interesting. You know, being human, the shadow of the valley of death is always with us. That's just part of us being mortal. But it seems to be very, very much more to the fore at the moment.
I think it does. I think people are becoming much more conscious about death and the nearness of death and the fear of death. And the psalm, in a sense, addresses that very directly in the promise that God will walk with us through whatever we need to walk through. And I suppose in our society, certainly our generation and younger, we have had many, many decades of such an easy life. To be honest, most societies throughout the ages have lived with the fear of war or famine or disease. Mm. And we've had none of these things. And yet now we're faced with one of them. And there's a particular irony or tragedy about COVID-19 is that many people are having to go through that valley of death, have to go through it without loved ones by their side. Mm. And that is a real tragedy. And that is just the place where the Good Shepherd can come alongside us.
Yes, and it's interesting that many people are actually turning to the Psalms and finding comfort there and finding food for their souls there. I think it would be good to go back to our kitchen now and invite some guests in so that we can extend our conversation together. Alison and Anne, you are always welcome at our kitchen table, even if it's just a virtual table. One day, hopefully soon face to face. I'm going to chat to you first, Anne. We haven't as yet touched on one really beautiful phrase in the psalm, and one that I think is hugely, hugely important. He restores my soul. I know that you were reading the 23rd psalm during Lent, and I was just wondering, is this a psalm that has restored your soul? And here I'm thinking of the Hebrew word for soul, which just encompasses the totality of who we are.
I'm going to go to the next one.
I find it interesting that rest seems to be a prerequisite of being refreshed and renewed. Thanks, Anne, that's so helpful. Even in lockdown, it can be hard to put aside time just to sit and simply be and rest in God's presence. Let's use Anne's words to encourage us to do that more as we spend more time in our homes. I'm going to come to you now, Alison. Alison, you have travelled through some dark valleys in your life. Has Psalm 23 been a comfort to you during these times?
Thank you, Jackie. Yes, the 23rd Psalm did hold and does hold very great significance for me. And particularly after Willie died in January 2008, I decided, after the weather got a bit better, that I needed to go out in the morning and take a walk. So I used to walk around the North Inch in Perth once, sometimes twice in the morning before I went into work and to face a very busy day. As others who have experienced similar bereavement will know, sleeping can be a tremendous problem in those weeks, months, and in fact sometimes longer. And you are awake often quite early, and being able to go for a walk is helpful, I found anyway. When I was going my walk around the North Inch, I would recite the 23rd Psalm to myself in my head, and I made it something of a challenge to be able to recite the words correctly from beginning to end on my walk. And that grounded me. It was very nourishing to my heart and my mind and my soul to say these words and to reflect on their meaning, perhaps particularly the part talking about he leads me beside quiet waters, because I was walking quite a lot of the time beside the River Tay. And as the weather got a little better and spring arrived, that was particularly soothing. I found that speaking the psalm to myself was calming and gave me a lot of peace and prepared me for the day. The psalm also has other significance because it was Willie's favourite psalm, and he used to tell me that when he was a little boy, his father sang the 23rd psalm to him before Willie went to sleep at night, and he used to ask his father, "Dad, Daddy, will you sing Shall Surely for me?" And for that reason, the last stanza is actually the one that's engraved in Willie's headstone. Goodness and mercy shall surely follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So these are some of the reasons why Psalm 23 is very special to me and has helped me through very difficult times.
It's wonderful to hear how just repeating these lines from the psalm over and over, Alison, could be such a balm for the soul. Something else we can do as we meditate on the psalms. Thank you so much both for joining us at our table this morning and being willing to share so honestly and personally, and just for adding just real depth to our conversation. This seems like a good time to turn to prayer, another way our souls can be restored. And we're going to focus in on the table and use some of the words we've been thinking about in the psalm. And they will appear on your screen. So let's pray. We thank you, Lord, that at the centre of your heart
There is a table of welcome, a table of blessing, a table of nourishment, a table of refreshment, a table of renewal, a table of restoration. And we thank you that we are all invited as your honoured guests to come and sit at your table and find rest in your presence.
And as we live through these strange days in the shadow of the valley of death, we pray for your mercy for those who are fighting with the virus at the moment. And we pray for protection for those who are risking their lives on the front line, in hospitals and in care homes, and in providing essential services. And we pray for protection for those who are the most vulnerable, whether through physical or mental health, through age, through poverty, through the colour of their skin, or through domestic abuse. And we would pray for your rest for those who are exhausted by their service, by the pressure of working at home while homeschooling, or by the relentlessness of entertaining little ones. And let's take a few moments just to name before the Lord those we personally want to pray for. And we pray for your presence with us, each one, as we journey into this coming week and face the challenges ahead, whether that's at home, going back to work, or just stepping out into the world again. And we bring all these prayers in the name of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Amen.
Amen.
Alison spoke about the line in the psalm, "Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And that's the third picture in the psalm of the relationship between God and David. At the opening of the psalm, the shepherd is leading his sheep. At the heart of the psalm, God is beside David. And here, at the end of the psalm, God is behind David and following him. The Hebrew word for follow translates more accurately as pursues or runs or chases after. God is passionately pursuing the psalmist. That's quite an amazing picture. And if you put all the pictures together, you get this wonderful image of God surrounding us on all sides. God before us, God beside us, God behind us. And at this time of Pentecost, we can also say God within us by his Holy Spirit. We tend to think of us seeking God, but really God is always seeking us, as Jesus told us in the parable of the lost sheep. As we have said, this is a psalm of journey and rest, and we are all embarking on a new journey as lockdown eases. One that could be quite challenging for some of us as we take our first tentative steps back into the world. We'll need to make more choices, perhaps take some calculated risks. And that is going to be so much harder for those of us who are older and those who are shielded. But in closing, let us just remind ourselves of the wonderful assurance that no matter what danger we may find ourselves in, we can be confident that David's hope can be ours too. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our final rest. Take care this week until we can meet together again.